Well, let's give our attention to God's word as it comes to us in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. We'll read through verse 24 at this point, though we'll consider the passage as it continues through verse 29. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. So Jesus said to them, many of the Jews who were opposing him, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God, the word of Jesus, shall stand forever." Let's look to him in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you reveal for your Son, and that through him we know that same love. Fill us with your Spirit that we might know afresh the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Grant us to live contentedly and confidently in your love, so that we are able to boldly share and show that love to others. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, in one of his songs, Paul Simon, whom I listened to religiously in high school and college, and I continue to listen to him today, not as religiously, but I continue to listen to him today. In one of his songs, Paul Simon sang, "Some people never say those words, 'I love you.' It's not their style to be so bold. Some people never say those words, 'I love you.' But like a child, they're longing to be told. On this Mother's Day, I am thankful for my mother, whom I continue to, without shame, call Mommy. I'm thankful for my Mommy for many reasons, but one of the reasons is because when I was growing up, she constantly and boldly told me, "I love you." I grew up knowing, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that she loves me. And still today, when we talk on the phone or end a visit together, she always says, "I love you." And that is a thoroughly Christian thing to do. For parents to always be telling their children, "I love you." In fact, it reflects the God of the Bible. God the Father, who boldly and repeatedly declares his love for his Son. At the baptism of Jesus, for all to hear, the voice of the Father rang down from heaven saying to Jesus, "You are my Son, whom I love." And he said it again at the transfiguration of Jesus, "This is my Son, whom I love." We've already heard this theme in our study of John, back in chapter 3 and verse 35, when John said, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." And our passage this morning is very much an elaboration on that verse and on that theme. We hear Jesus himself now repeat those words in verse 20 of our passage. The Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. So real is God the Father's love for his Son that Jesus, knowing it deep down in the core of his being, boldly declared it even in the face of those who were seeking to destroy him. Those who were picking a fight with him. He says, my Father loves me. You know, that's what we are to be confident in as God's adopted children in the battles of this life. We're able to say with Jesus, my Father, he loves me with a love that will not let me go. Jesus was confident in the Father's love, not only because of the Father's words, but also because of the Father's deeds. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, John writes, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. The New Living Translation puts it this way, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other, let us show the truth by our actions. And that's got to be true in any relationship. It's certainly got to be true in the parent-child relationship. Parents not only saying to their children, I love you, but showing it by investing in their lives, by showing it through our deeds. And it is modeled for us in the divine Father-Son relationship. In the words of Jesus before us this morning, Jesus highlights two of the main deeds that the Father does relative to his Son, which communicates his great love for his Son. Let's consider them together. In the first place, Jesus says, because the Father loves his Son, he works in concert with his Son to bring about our redemption. Because the Father loves his Son, he invites his Son to participate, as it were, in our redemption. He works in concert with his Son. As we saw last week, many of the Jews had accused Jesus of breaking God's law by healing an invalid on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus had news for them, as often Jesus had news for them. I mean, again, it's pretty amazing, these people theologizing to Jesus. And yet, Jesus patiently walked them through who God is. And the fact that he was God in the flesh, standing before them. Jesus told them, not only was he not breaking God's law, he was perfectly fulfilling God's will. He was working in perfect harmony with God when he healed the invalid on the Sabbath. He said to those who were condemning him, up in verse 17, which we considered last week, Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. And that really set them off, because as they rightly perceived, Jesus was calling God his own Father, thus claiming a unique relationship with God, claiming equality with God as his eternal Son. And he continues to explain in our passage that he was not doing anything independently of the Father. Jesus said to his naysayers in verse 19, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. Some have said Jesus is using the language of apprenticeship. You know, Jesus was, in his humanity, apprenticed by Joseph as a carpenter. Perhaps Jesus is borrowing that language, what a son, particularly in that day, saw his father doing, that he entered into vocationally. He watched his father in the carpentry shop, and he entered into, under the tutelage of his father, that which his father was called to do, and that which he, like his father, was called to do. Jesus is saying here that he is the eternal Son of God, eternally begotten, not made, as we confessed earlier from the Nicene Creed. The eternal, when we speak of the eternally begotten Son, we're saying he's always been a son to the Father. That relationship has always existed. And he's saying that the eternal Son was not acting apart from his Father in any way. He was working in concert with the Father. And again, he's saying this as a rebuttal to the accusations being leveled against him. Jesus was saying that he is no solo performer. He is like a well-trained musician playing his part while the Father is playing his part. They're playing different parts, but the same song, ultimately the song of our redemption in perfect harmony. The Father and the Son, along with the Holy Spirit, are equally God, dwelling together in the mysterious unity of the Trinity. But they play different roles in our redemption. In love, the eternal Father sent his beloved Son. He gave him up for us all. In love, the eternal Son came to us in obedience to the Father to accomplish our salvation. And in love, the Father and Son together send the Holy Spirit into our lives to unite us to Jesus through faith, unite us to Jesus in his death and resurrection life, and make us know we are accepted in God's beloved Son, and thus live confidently in the Father's love for us. All three persons of the Blessed Trinity, equally God, equally glorious, equally loving, yet with different roles as they work together to accomplish our salvation. And it is that salvation that Jesus was talking about when he spoke of greater things in verse 20. The Father and the Son were going to perform even greater works than the healing of the invalid. Jesus was saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's the Southern translation. You ain't seen nothing yet. We're going to raise Lazarus from the dead. You thought telling a man who's invalid, an invalid, to get up, take up his mat and walk, you thought that was something. We're going to raise somebody from the dead for all to see. A man that's been dead for 4 days. We're going to raise him up. Father and Son. And that actually is just going to be the warm-up act. Because Father and Son with the Holy Spirit will accomplish the redemption of sinners through the death, resurrection, and glorious ascension of the Son and the outpouring of the blessed Holy Spirit, who gives new life to dead sinners in Jesus. Jesus was saying that he and the Father together in the Spirit were going to give the gift of life to dead sinners. Jesus puts it this way in verse 21, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will." This is another bold claim on the part of Jesus. Only God can raise the dead, spiritually or physically. And in claiming to do this, Jesus was claiming to be the Redeemer God, equal and in union with the Father in essence, or as we confessed earlier from the Nicene Creed, in substance, in deity, in their godness, and united with him in purpose. Because the Father loves his Son, he works in concert with him in all things, healing of the invalid, the raising of Lazarus, and ultimately your salvation. That's how you can have assurance of your salvation, because it's a work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They will not ever let you down or forsake you. Look at their fidelity to one another. That's their fidelity to all who believe in Jesus. Because he loves his Son and trusts his Son, the Father, as it were, lets the Son in on and invites him to participate in his most wonderful work, the salvation of his people. You know, sometimes when a father is planning something for his wife on Mother's Day, or maybe to surprise his wife with a gift on her birthday or at Christmas, he wants to involve the children, because he loves them, and he wants them to participate in the surprise. But when they're young, he wonders, can I trust them to keep the secret and to fulfill their part of the mission? As they get older, more mature, he can let them in on the secret and trust that they will fulfill their part of the surprise. God the Father loves his eternal Son, so he wants his eternal Son to participate in the most surprising gift ever given. And he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he can trust his Son to fulfill his part of the mission. And of course, the Son has proven him right. He's proving him right this very moment, and he will always prove him right in the future. The trustworthiness of the Son. Because the Father loves the Son, and because he trusts him, he works in concert with him to surprisingly, and if you're not surprised by redemption, then you need to ask God to open your eyes today. He works in concert with his Son to pull off the greatest surprise, the greatest gift ever given, our salvation. Secondly, because the Father loves his Son, he has committed all judgment to his Son. Again, when John said back in chapter 3 and verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand, he surely had these two points in mind: the salvation of his people and the judgment of all mankind. John went on to say in chapter 3 and verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. There's the salvation of God's people. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. That's the judgment that the Father has entrusted to his Son. Jesus says, beginning in verse 22 of our text, Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. And then down in verse 25, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in him. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Jesus was foretelling his second coming. What we confessed together earlier from the Nicene Creed. He shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. Jesus was saying, so great is my Father's love for me, so great is his trust in me, he has entrusted all judgment to me. Notice that Jesus says that all the dead shall rise. Those who have done good, that is, those who because of their faith in Jesus have shown the fruit of a real relationship with Jesus, they will be raised unto life. And they will have a glorified body, like the glorified body of their Savior, fit for the new heavens and the new earth, where they will dwell with Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and with all the saints for all eternity. But those who die outside of Christ, that is, without faith in Christ, will be raised as well. Bodily. And they will suffer in body and soul in hell forever. That's Jesus talking. Jesus said in verse 27, the Father had given him this authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. We've discussed that title for Jesus already in our study of John's Gospel. It comes from Daniel chapter 7, which pictures the Messiah as coming in glory to judge and to establish dominion over all the nations. Jesus was saying to those who were opposing him, right now you're standing in judgment of me, but one day I will be the one, the God-appointed judge of you. And I think especially here, there is significance in that title, the Son of Man. On Judgment Day, you need to understand that no one will be able to say to their judge, you don't know what it's like to be a human being living in a fallen world with all the temptations of this fallen world. Jesus knows all about it. He went through it all. He was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. And thus he is perfectly suited as the God-man to be the judge of all mankind. That's why the Father entrusted all judgment to the capable, perfectly suited hands of his beloved Son. Let me close with these wonderful words. And again, words that, if we're thinking about our sin, seriousness of it, and the holiness of God, and what we deserve, they should be surprising to us. Verse 24. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word, that would be you and me. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. I would ask, is all of that true for you today? Yes, you have heard the words of Jesus. Do you believe them? Do you believe in Him? Do you believe in the Father who sent Him? Have you passed, therefore, from spiritual death to eternal life by believing in Jesus? As most of you know, our house is right on the border of North and South Carolina. Our neighbors right across the street are with us. They're in the old North State. But then right next to them, the new house that is being built, bless the hearts of whomever is going to live in that home, they will be South Carolinians. You can literally walk out our door and just a few yards south, and you have passed from life to death. No, you have passed from North Carolina into a whole other state, a whole other place, the Palmetto State. Dear friend, by believing in Jesus, by simple faith in Jesus, you pass from death and condemnation into life eternal and abundant. I ask you today, what's not to love about Jesus Christ? The Father loves the Son and has entrusted all things to Him. Do you love the Son? And have you entrusted yourself to Him? May it be so. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for revealing to us the great love that You have for Your eternal Son. We thank You that all who trust in Him are accepted by You. And that You say to us, Your children, even as You say to Jesus, I love You. Fill us with Your Spirit, that each of us here today may know that love, that we may live confidently in that love, and that we may show it to all those that You have placed in our lives. May we show it even now as we give to the Deacon's Benevolence Fund. You have reminded us today of Your benevolence toward us, that is Your goodwill toward us in giving Your Son. May we express our goodwill toward others, our love for others, by giving even now. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.